tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Central Pennsylvania Shrimp Tank here from our makeshift studios. I'm sitting in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, the metropolis of Dillsburg. Look it up. I'm your host, Nathan Imboden, and today we are continuing our special series we're calling In the Crosshairs of Corona. And what we wanted to do is normally we interview business owners who have started the business right here in Central Pennsylvania. We learn about how they grew their business, how they are running it currently, the challenges they faced with marketing and employees and whatnot. But we're in a unique situation, particularly in Pennsylvania right now, where we have businesses that are being forced to shut their doors because of stay-at-home orders. There's been kind of a lack of clarity between what's an essential business, what's a non-essential business. And so we wanted to bring business owners on to just hear their story and share the hardships and the things that they're dealing with, to give a voice to our Central PA small businesses in this light, good, bad, and ugly. We're at the Central PA Shrimp Tank. We say we are by business owners, for business owners, and we try to give an education in entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship isn't always rosy. And so we want to be able to talk about and highlight the negative things that are going on as well. So today, who we have on the show is a previous guest, Mr. Brent Smith, the one and only, well, there's probably more Brent Smiths in the world than just you, but Brent Smith, who is the president of Link Bank, a community bank right here in Central Pennsylvania. He's been a part of multiple banks, a couple in Central PA, moved out of the area, came back. They're doing great things helping businesses, and they're on both sides of the coin. So they have business themselves that they have been have had to deal with the issues and the ramifications of COVID-19. But they also are a bank, a community bank, which has been processing SBA loans, PPP loans, disaster relief loans, and all those. So they have kind of an inside voice to what entrepreneurs are going through. So we wanted to get their perspective because they can do it from both sides of the coin. So without further ado, Mr. Brent Smith, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming back. I'd love to have you again on a better pretense at some point as well, but welcome.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So let's talk about, I'm going to do two questions in one, and I'll let you answer, but well, I'll maybe interject a little bit, but how has the regulations and whatnot that have been pushed down from our regulating bodies on, how has that impacted the bank? And then secondarily, how has it impacted the customers and the clients that you guys work with?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the bank, we're considered an essential business in the state of Pennsylvania. So, but given the guidance, we've shuttered our lobbies. We're drive-through only. We're processing almost all of our business electronically. So whether that's ACH payments, remote deposit capture, mobile banking, or through the drive-through, we've actually settled loans, PPP or other loans, through the drive-through drawer. So we've had to be creative, but we're considered essential. So about half of our staff are in our offices. The other half are working remotely. We were fortunate enough when we started the bank, we built it in a cloud environment. So transitioning to that work from home environment was pretty seamless for most employees that needed to do so. So, and it's really, as the bank, it's just, how do you create a safe workspace? You know, and what does that mean? What's a safe workspace mean? Because that early days, it seemed like every 24 hours it changed from what you needed to implement. And we were literally, you know, communicating to employees and then re-communicating. And now for the last couple of weeks, we've kind of hit a new normal, which is that lobbies closed, half staff in, half staff out. But what it's meant for clients, I think, is a little bit more challenging. When the order came down, you have a couple different buckets, I guess you'd say. You have the essential businesses that remain open. Some of our clients are making more money and in a better situation than they've ever been, because they're they're a provider of sanitation services, or they're a cleaning service, or, you know, those types of businesses. Or we have a business who does Chromebooks with schools, right? So they've up and down the East Coast, everybody's trying to mobilize to do online learning. So you've got some people who shifted into this, you know, environment where their businesses see more volume than they've ever seen. But then you have people on the other opposite end who had to shutter the doors immediately. You've got, you know, restaurants and other places that just had to, you know, hair salons, other things that are just, you know, normal patrons day to day that had to shut down and have been shut down completely. And then you got a group in the middle that had certain works in process, certain projects they were allowed to do. You saw this in the HVAC type scenario where they could continue to do some projects that were, you know, but that work in process is starting to run out at this point in time. Now, right. We've been in it for a while. So they're actually moving from more into that, you know, just completely shut down mode. So it's kind of those three buckets is what we're seeing.
Well, and you've reasoned, I think even in those buckets, there's been some challenge and discrepancies with, you mentioned HVAC. I know some individuals that are in the remodeling business where they tried to get a waiver, were denied. Some haven't even heard back yet because of the backlog of waiver requests. But then there were competing businesses who were granted waivers. And now, to your point, it's the same. It was waivers to complete work that was already going on or certain types of work, not necessarily new projects. But there's been just a mass amount of confusion around this whole process. And unfortunately, a lot of it was because the nature of the order was so rapid, right? It was originally tonight, you know, in the afternoon it was announced, and by that evening you've got to comply, and then they relaxed it a little bit, but the I don't think the state really had the time to be able to commit the resources to deal with what ended up the inevitable, the fallout from that. And so you have a lot of places just kind of, what do I do? So, I mean, industry-wise, I think, and maybe this is true in your, on who you're dealing with, it seems like contractors, specific service-based businesses, we think about restaurants, salons, you know, those types where the only way you can really transact business is face-to-face. Restaurants, you can do takeout, but the businesses where you're relying on people coming in and actually being present is the only way you can do it. You know, we talked about cutting hair earlier, and I'm fortunate that my wife learned how to trim hair so I didn't look like Fabio, and that's not an insult to Fabio, but you know, it could be. But you know, you can't virtually cut someone's hair, right? You can't do those types of things. So, are there industries specifically that you're seeing have been impacted the most?
Yeah, I mean, I think anything in the hospitality side of things, hotels, quickly.
Yeah,
you know, and again, small businesses, entrepreneurs make. I've said if I've seen anything from them is they make quick decisions and they act fast. So even before some of this came out and they start to see the economies of their business change, they made quick decisions that they had to make to put themselves in the best position to survive, not just hold on. And that's challenging for non-entrepreneurs to understand. It's challenging at times for employees to understand. But I think we saw mostly in that hospitality space. Again, you mentioned restaurants and anything in that face-to-face that's really kind of the non-essential. You mentioned haircutting, you know, hotels, anything travel related, it all pretty much just came to a screeching halt very quickly.
Well, hopefully we're getting to a place where we can start reintroducing some small businesses back into the workforce. I mentioned this before. I had watched last week a press conference. It was one of the, I think they were doing them about every other day where they were updating. It was the Governor Wolf, and then Secretary of Health, Dr. Levine. And they were doing their update and giving some good information. But a question came up about the most of the workers, at least it was, I don't know what the percentage was, but a number of the workers who are still deemed essential are typically lower paid workers, lower wage earning workers who are still essentially being forced, if you will, to continue to employ, go to their jobs. And they were asking about essentially hazard pay, what should businesses be doing to compensate those individuals for that? And, you know, the governor said, I think somewhat wisely, he said about, you know, they're encouraging businesses to try to take that into account, whether it's trying to either increase hiring or maybe increase pay. But he cited one example of an organization that he thought was kind of shining in this arena recently. Any guesses on who that organization is?
I don't know.
Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Amazon. It was the only example he could give. I'm thinking, we're talking about the crippling of small business, the backbone of America, And there's one example, and it's a shining star of Amazon hiring new people. Well, that doesn't really help small businesses. And I think most people that are wanting to get back to work, we're not saying we want everybody to come and congregate in mass at concert venues or at, you know, whatever. We just want the garden center, who is a family-owned business, who's maybe been in this business for 20 years, who can't compete now with Lowe's or Home Depot, even though, by the way, I had to get something at Lowe's the other day. The parking lot was packed, absolutely packed. And so it's always, it seems like it's always large corporations that are able to absorb this and really get the benefit of the doubt when it's the small businesses that are really running our country. So,
And I think that, Nathan, that's a good point. I think that's the biggest frustration, I think, from small businesses is, and commerce is so non-state specific, but this has become very state specific. I know we've got the federal level doing their thing, but it's become very governor focused, especially in the recent days in conversations. But, you know, there's commerce that happens in the greater Harrisburg area that is dealing in Maryland and New York and Ohio. Like it's, we're the keystone state for a reason. So there's lots that happens here that's not, you know, Pennsylvania specific. So small business owners, I think, are seeing that the big businesses have been able to continue to operate. And they're just saying, listen, we're smart. We understand the concerns and we understand the threat that is the virus. Is there any way that we can implement policies and procedures that may not get us back 100%, but 60% for them and keeping the gears moving, keeping the water flowing, for lack of a better term, if you think about frozen pipes, right?
Yeah.
Keeping that water flowing means that when I can go from 60 to 70, 80, I'm already at 60 and I'm not starting at zero. And that's their biggest thing is, why can't we use some discretion within the guidelines to be smart and protect? Because the biggest issue here too that I don't think is getting talked about is there is a whole social component to this that no business wants to be involved in an outbreak in their workforce or an outbreak with their clients.
Right.
So anybody who does open back up and doesn't try and deem how do I make it safe workplace for my employees and how do I make it safe for my clients is frankly ignorant and set up to have a big issue if something happens. So I think that's where business owners are saying, listen, we're smart. We get it. Can we do something that's not, you have no options. Is there any middle ground here where we can operate?
Yeah. Well, if it's a good sign, I'm not sure, but the state, and for those of you who are outside of Pennsylvania that don't know this, our liquor is controlled by the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. So we have no, unless it's a distillery, a Pennsylvania-based distillery that's still able to be open, no liquor is able to be purchased in the state of Pennsylvania because they shut them down because it was considered, because it was state-run, it was a non-essential. But I saw they have decided to reopen a large number of stores across the state effective today for, I think, curbside pickup and whatnot. So hopefully that is a precursor of maybe some things to come because the state run, some of that state run stuff is starting to open up again. So hopefully that's a sign of good things to come. All right. So I try to wrap up, I think I said to you earlier on, try to do it on a positive note because I know we're going through tough time. Entrepreneurs and small businesses are going through tough times, but there is still a lot of good that's happening out there. And it's times like these when I think we can see a lot of the bad in people, but we also can see a lot of the good in people. So from a business perspective, is there anything out there you've been seeing that's unique or creative that businesses are trying to do in the midst of this pandemic that we're in?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're seeing lots of them volunteer in different ways, which is great. You look at the food bank or locally New Hope Ministries, different places where they just have the needs of the community that are mobilized and ready to serve those needs. So I think it's been fun to see small businesses shift some of their people or their time, essential, non-essential, to those places. You've seen places like restaurants. There's a story of a local pizza shop in the Dillsburg area, kind of where you're sitting, that, you know, they decided when, you know, because a big issue for kids was when they weren't going to school, you know, how do they get food? And you saw a guy who basically opened up his shop and said, listen, I'm going to feed you know, as many people as I can in, you know, period of lunchtime on his dime, not necessarily for their benefit. So yeah, those are a few quick examples, but I think the resourcefulness of people in spite of all the structures, all the limitations to say, listen, we care about each other and we're going to find ways to continue to do that and make a positive impact in spite of what we're told we can or can't do to make sure that people get through this time, because we will get through this time. Everybody knows that, but the duration starts to get long, right? And that's where we're at right now. So how do we continue to care about each other well in spite of that? So that those are a couple little examples, but you've got businesses all over who are donating things, using their supply chain to help, you know, support, you know, medical and different things. So it's, yeah, the stories are numerous.
Yeah. Awesome. I love hearing that. I also love the reminder that most good things do come from Dillsburg. So just kidding. Nah, they come from everywhere. So, well, Brent, thank you so much for being a part of the show again. I'd love to. So we're going to continue this series while we're going through this. We're going to keep these short episodes because we're not doing our normal episodes because I like doing those face to face. And so those are going to be on hold for a while. So while we do that, we're just going to keep hearing the stories of what people are going through and how they're adapting. So thank you for sharing both perspectives on your side. Look forward to having you on some point in the future, Brent.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, Nathan.
Awesome. So everybody at home, again, we're going to continue this series. We're trying to post more of these since we're doing shorter videos and shorter episodes. So next week, I'm not sure who we're going to have because we're getting interviews popped on left and right, but keep tuning in to find out what's going on in our area, and we'll see you on a new episode of the Central PA Shrimp Tank. Thanks.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Want to put it all together, this is big things. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell in my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is